Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to episode 187 of Geek Town Radio, and we're back for our first episode of 2019. And joining me this week is... Matt! How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. You've got a little new intro now, so...
Yes, I missed that. I missed that thing. Yes.
Been too long. That's the little intro thing from 24 for those of you that aren't fans. Although, why you're not fans, I don't know. It's a great show.
My favourite show.
Yes. So what have you been up to over the festive period?
Well, I got a PSVR headset system, whatever you want to call it.
Nice.
Over Christmas. And first piece of advice, if you go to play it for the first time, don't stand up, because I did that. And that didn't work very well. I went to do the drive club demo because I thought, oh, I'll just sit in the car and look around and drive. And no, that didn't work very well. I'm not very good with the games that have your character in the game move about as much. I'm not quite like as used to those yet.
Right.
My favorite game in the whole thing so far has been the London Heist thing.
Right, yeah.
I think that game's actually done very, very well. It's a bit short, but it's one of those kind of short ones that they have in there. I brought Tumble VR, which is basically a little sort of puzzle sort of builder game. They have different games within that, but one of the games in there is like you have little shapes and you kind of have to build them up. You sort of do that using the VR thing.
Yeah.
In the heist thing, there's this bit where you're sitting on this little sofa and this guy comes in the room and like he's telling you about, you know, the bank job that you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I thought the whole thing looked really, really good. And there's a couple of little achievements and things in there where you've got a cigarette and a lighter on the table. You get an achievement for lighting that and smoking it.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? There's a bit in there where it says, hey, can you give me a light or something? And you lift the thing up and light that as well. You get an achievement for that. There's also a little bit in there where he gives you like an earpiece and a phone. And
You have to put the thing in your ear. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it you sort of pick it up with the controller or whatever you're using. And you put it to like the side of your head kind of, and it just sort of clicks in or whatever.
Yeah.
There's also a bit later in it where someone's giving you the phone to talk to someone. And if you take, you know, the phone with the controller and then put it on the right side of your head, it will go through like the right earpiece that you've got in, which is really good. It's just a lot of those little touches that made the whole thing really, really good as well. There's also apparently an achievement in that bit for putting this phone on speaker, but I didn't manage to do that.
Right, okay.
And then there's bits in there, of course, the main actual shooting thing.
Yeah.
When you go pick up the gun and you shoot around and stuff, and you can, of course, like duck and look where you want, which is like kind of the whole idea of it.
Yeah.
Have you played the heist one?
Is there a full game version of the heist? Because there's one that comes as part of the initial package, I think, that comes with it. And I don't know whether that's like a shortened version or whether there's a full game version as well. But I'm playing the one that's come with the PSVR.
There's one that you get, it's called VR Worlds. That's the full games for all of those. And then there's, I think on the VR demos, because there's two of them that you can download for free on the PlayStation Store, that has like a demo version of that, which is a different thing.
Yeah.
It's like a separate shooting range.
Yeah. I have played it then, because I've played the VR Worlds version, so... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was really good. I tried not Farpoint.
Firewall Zero.
Yeah, I really, really like the shooting mechanics of it and everything. But there's the bit where you go in, and I picked like the hotel that I picked, and I chose to be defender, and I just feel like the way in that one that you move around is quite jarring. The shooting mechanics themselves, where you're moving around, you're looking, and you can, if you line the gun up in the right way, you can look like through the red dot sight and stuff, which is a really nice touch again. But yeah, once like two or three guys started coming in the room, and it's a bit intimidating because like they're actually right in front of you. Because you know, if you're playing a normal game on a TV, it's like on a TV, but you're in the VR thing, and there's a guy kind of right in front of you shooting at you, and it's a bit more intimidating and stuff. But I just feel like that. With that one, it got to the point where like two or three guys were in the room and they were throwing flashbangs and stuff, and I didn't quite like that so much. It was just like there was a lot going on in the game and stuff, but I thought the mechanics of the shooting were really good though.
Yeah.
But no, I recommend it. It's probably the cheapest version of VR out there, and 80+ million people have a PlayStation 4. So there's a lot of you that have it. So.
It is a great VR system, only enhanced by the fact that Beat Saber is now available on it. And if you've heard Bex talk on the podcast quite a lot, Bex is obsessed with Beat Saber. And it is a fabulous, fabulous game. I really like it. Robinson the Journey was another really good game that I really liked. Not a shooter thing or anything. It's far more kind of adventure game than that. But I really enjoyed that. I thought that was really fun. And Astrobot,
Astrobot. I played some of that as well. That was really good.
Yeah, Astrobot's really, really good. It's basically a platformer, but done in sort of full 3D. And it's sometimes a little difficult to get the mechanics of that.
Yeah, because you have to literally look around the corner.
You're having to physically look around objects to actually see where the character goes and stuff. But that's an amazing version of a sort of 3D platformer. So those are the sort of top three ones I think I've probably played.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a Crash Bandicoot game done in that way. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting. Yeah,
or like a Mario game, or obviously I prefer Crash, but Mario done in that way, that'd be really good. Because Moss is quite similar to that. It's sort of you go into a little room and you have to sort of look around and puzzle solve a bit more.
Yeah.
Moss was quite good, but I only played the demo of Moss.
Yeah.
I have played like the first world of Astrobot. I think there's like five or something, but that was really good. But it is really, really good. So, got the Move controllers?
Cause I haven't got those yet. I have got the Move controllers as well, which is you have to have the Move controllers.
Require you to play.
Yeah, that. Yeah. For Beat Saber, I think you have to have the Move controllers. But
I know that Job Simulator and the Rick and Morty game require that.
Right. Okay. So,
yeah.
We'll have to get hold of the Rick and Morty game because Rick and Morty's awesome. So that's definitely one that I want to get hold of. But I bought Skyrim as well, which I've only tinkered with a little bit, just purely because so I can have Skyrim on another platform that I won't finish it on. But
on every platform.
Because it's on everything. But and it's difficult because you can mod it so much for the PC, and you can't do that on the VR version. So it's fine, but the PC version is far superior. So,
Series that I started this week and also finished this week, Big Little Lies, which is on HBO, Sky Atlantic. HBO actually released a little clip, I think it was last night at the Golden Globe Awards, where they had teasers for like Watchmen and Game of Thrones and what was the other one? True Detective. And then they had a like logo montage of all the stuff coming up. So like, Ballers and all their other sorts of shows. And I assume the clip they showed for Big Little Lies was season two.
Yeah.
Which is hopefully coming soon. But it's in the same kind of wheelhouse as like Wanted and Good Girls and those sorts of shows of kind of like these female sort of parents or women or, that sort of thing, getting together and sort of, depending on which of the shows you're talking about, trying to sort of solve what's going on. With this, it's a case of, it's more closer to Good Girls than the others. It's these sort of mothers, you see them like take their kids to school and stuff, and some of their children have some storylines as well. There's the guy that plays a young Sheldon, he's in the show. I can't remember I think his character's name is Marty or something, but he's in it, and he's involved with this like bullying storyline. This girl is as well, and there's these sort of nasty mothers that are trying to stir up trouble and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the whole mystery point to it, because it's not It's not about women that take their kids to school. It's basically, it shows you these sort of mini flash forwards. There's been a murder, but you don't know who's been killed and you don't know who killed who.
Right,
but
okay.
As the series goes on, it's like, okay, this person clearly hates this person and was it them that killed someone? And they do reveal by the end of the first season who got killed and the whole situation.
Right.
I think one of the show's strengths, surprisingly, is the ability to create these really little storylines, and then like maybe half an episode later or two episodes later, that little thing gets connected to something much bigger and then kind of blows up much more.
Right, okay.
So the bullying thing is kind of small at the start, and then that really kind of builds up, and there's this like a particular relationship in the show that's a bit smaller, and that kind of builds up, and then some of those kind of connect together as well. It does a lot of these sort of imagery, symbolism, kind of foreshadowing things, a bit like how Sharp Objects did it this year. I don't know if you saw Objects.
No. I haven't finished watching it yet.
Yeah.
But yes.
These sort of little flash forwards and showing bits of like emotion and stuff and that sort of thing. But really, really good. There's only 7 episodes and they're like about 50 minutes each, apart from I think the first and last episode.
I missed it when it came out. I do want to go back and watch it. I just haven't got around to that yet.
It was in someone's TV list that I came across. I think it was on Collider or something.
Right, yeah.
And they mentioned it as like a really good show because I'd seen it, you know, around and stuff. Obviously, the HBO, so it's going to be quite big. But no, that's another good HBO show.
Yes.
So. That's pretty good. House of Lies, I'm actually going to save a bit more of this until The Good Place finishes, because then once that finishes and Kristen Bell goes off the screen, I can bring her back onto the screen because she's in House of Lies, because there's only 4 episodes left of Good Place for this half season. But it's I talked about this maybe about a year ago on Geek Town. It's got this guy called Marty. He's played by John Cheadle. Is it Cheadle? War Machine?
Yes, guy that plays War Machine.
He's going to be the lead of Altered Carbon season 2.
Yes.
He's like the main kind of con man, and he's the one that he does the like House of Cards type thing where he pauses a situation and he'll like talk to you and be like, these guys don't know what they're doing or whatever. But it's that in a comedy way, because in that it was Kevin Spacey saying like, oh, I'm going to mess this person up or whatever it was that he would say and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But it's more of a comedy thing of like these, you know, he says something quite comedic and he's got these other guys in there. And it's just a kind of fun show as well. But I'm going to kind of save it until Good Place finishes as well. I'm not going to mention House of Cards, but I did finish it. It was fine. But I will say that Robin Wright does a really, really good job, and you don't really miss Kevin Spacey in the final season. And the way they deal with him is really, really good. So
I've only watched the first episode of that so far. I need to go back and finish it. But I enjoyed the first episode. No, you don't miss Kevin Spacey at all in that. I actually
liked his final scene. I quite liked the way it was sort of done. And at the time, like, it wasn't. I don't know what their future plans were for the series, but his final scene was very like, huh. That's kind of a interesting
sort of works.
Thing.
Yeah,
it sort of unintentionally worked. But that's on Netflix as well, obviously. And then 2 more things. Wanted season 3. I thought I'd definitely put this on this list because nobody else is probably going to talk about it that much because it's much more of a smaller show.
Yeah.
It's an Australian series. It's on Channel 7 over there. It's on Netflix in the UK. I'm not sure about the US. I think it's like a international distribution type thing that they can have. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's about Chelsea and Lola. They work together. They meet at this bus stop and they get roped into this like drug deal type thing. So a little bit sort of Breaking Bad-esque. I don't know if there's a full season, but the third season ends where you could leave it or you could go back. So
not cancelled or renewed yet. But the third season only went out in October last year in Australia, so there's plenty of time for them to renew it.
Yeah, came out in December over here on the 13th. But if it does get cancelled, it won't be like, oh, we don't know what happens to them because it ended in a satisfying kind of place. But I'd like to see more of it. Sure, really good show. People should go and watch that. And then the last thing is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which I did review when that came out December something.
Yeah,
really good Spider-Man film. With that and everything, and it was kind of interesting for them to take a different approach and do like, you know, this isn't part of the MCU, but this is clearly part of its own thing, like what Venom tried to do. It's their own kind of little animated universe that they've sort of made, and I know that they've done something similar with the Disney XD series, which has the same type of characters, but this is like its own film kind of universe and everything. But I thought that was really good as well. We've got a lot of Spider-Man going around at the moment, which is good. I actually posted the Rebirth of Spider-Man article today, which talks about all the different kind of versions and how that's sort of great and everything. So I'm
old enough to remember the old 70s TV live action TV show. So, I haven't seen it yet, but it's got some very, very good reviews. It's certainly when the home release comes out, it's one that I definitely going to be watching, I think.
Yeah. And the way they paid tribute to Stan Lee was really nice as well. And the way they paid tribute to him in the third DLC piece of the game.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't get something edited in time for the second piece, but the last DLC piece came out recently.
Yes.
And they did a good job with that as well. So,
good.
Yes. Thank you, Stanley. Thank you very much.
Yes. I've got to go and play the DLCs as well. I still haven't done those.
Cool. That's all my stuff.
So yeah, for me, gaming wise, it was obviously the Steam Christmas sale for those of you with PCs who know what a wallet draining time that is. So I bought a number of new games. A lot of them actually early access games, which I usually stay away from, but there was a few that came up which piqued my interest, so I picked a few of them up. The one that I started off on was called Stranded Deep. I'm a huge fan of Subnautica, which is you can actually get on console now as well, and I urge you to go and buy Subnautica if you haven't. I thought that was a phenomenal game, and I've been playing it on and off in early access for years, but it's finally got its PC release at the start of the year, and at the end of the year they did a console release for it as well. Subnautica is absolutely brilliant. It's scary without being overly scary. It's not zombies. You're basically stranded on an ocean planet and you've got to build stuff to try and survive. But there is this big alien mystery that's in there as well. So it's wonderful, wonderful fun, beautifully done. And I would thoroughly recommend Subnautica to anybody. There is it's not an expansion. It's called Subnautica Sub-Zero coming out. That's getting early access release on the PC, I think, next month. It's actually its own standalone game, but it's using a lot of the engine, I think, from the original. So there's that coming up, because it's going to be a different place, different character, but same sort of principle, but it's in a frozen kind of wasteland. Very, very much looking forward to that, because they did such a good job with the first one. Lots and lots of feedback, lots of development. You can go and see what they're working on. It's just really good developers. Very, very impressed with them. So, but obviously I'm waiting for that to come out. So I was looking for things that was kind of similar. One of them I stumbled across was called Stranded Deep, which is you stuck on an island and you have to build rafts and stuff and
oh yeah, I saw this on the Xbox store.
Right, okay. And yeah. It's still in early access, Stranded Deep, at the moment. It's not like full-blown game. So I played with that a little bit, and I like the mechanics they've got into it. And it's, you know, it's kind of chopping down trees to create rafts and build buildings, and you can jump from island to island, and they're still developing stuff. They're developing different, more diverse islands, because everything's a little bit samey at the moment. But there's a lot of fun to be had just kind of building rafts, and you can build a gyrocopter and motorboats and all sorts of things with that. So that's really good fun. Cool. There is a game called The Forest, which is another similar survival game. That's actually, I think, on full release now. It might still be in early access, but you can certainly finish the game if it isn't. I mean, that is, again, you're stuck on an island. It's one big island in this particular case. There is some sort of mystery going on. You start off with a plane crash, so you start off at the plane crash site. Mm-hmm. You've then got to build things to be able to survive. Now, there are various versions of the game, because on the normal settings there are cannibals on there. And they come out at night and attack you. I find that intensely annoying when I tried playing through it the first time, because it's one that I bought a while ago and sort of left. They then introduced a peaceful mode, which takes all the cannibals out of it. So all the animals and stuff are still in there, and they can still kind of give you quite a nasty nip, but the cannibal stuff is all gone. So it still works, even though you've taken all that element out of it. So I rather enjoyed doing that, because you can go around and, again, you're building things, and there is this mystery because you find sort of locked doors and stuff. There's an element of kind of lostness about it. But that I really quite enjoyed. And like I say, I played through it in peaceful mode because I didn't want to have to deal with the cannibals. And I like building things, you know, so that was really good fun.
I want to mention a game that's in a similar genre to this that you should avoid. It's called called Ark Survival Evolved, and basically the reason you should avoid it is because it runs terribly on every system that is out. Specifically, it runs quite badly on the Switch. And there was this controversial thing about it where they had the game was still in early access and it was still in the basically the same state it is now. And then they tried to release DLC for the game. So that doesn't make sense. So I just thought I'd put that out there.
I've heard a lot. I've actually have got a copy of Ark. I bought it in one of the sales and was not impressed with it at all. Definitely, if you're looking for something to replace Subnautica, there are better games out there. And I was not impressed at all with Ark. I really didn't fill me with any amount of joy or fun. So I've not played very much on it. I've done a few hours on it and just, it's not very good. There was a game called The Universe Sim, which again is another early access game. This is going back to one of those sort of old school kind of God games where you're floating above a world where you start off with a kind of Adam and Eve situation, and then they kind of multiply and you get more of them, and you've got to kind of build up this this city, and they build more and more things as it goes along, and you develop technology and that sort of stuff. So there's tech trees and all that sort of stuff. Really, really good fun. It's an early access game, so you know some of the bits of tech are missing and that sort of thing. But still a lot of fun to be had with it in the state that it's in at the moment. It's really nicely designed. They've got some nice voiceover work for it. It's got just a very nice, smooth feel to it. You know, they seem to be working hard on kind of knocking the edges off it. So very much enjoying that. And the other game that I was playing is another crafting game. It's called My Time at Portia. It's a Team 17 game. I'd sort of avoided it. It's been out for a while. Again, I think it's still in early access as well, but you turn up at this town called Portia to take over your father's engineering business, and you get given a kind of shed and there's some basic sort of tool stuff, and you start building things for the local town, and there is a plot line that sort of runs through it, and various events happen, like things crash into the town or you know something goes missing, there's townsfolk that you've got to go and help. It's got a sort of quite a cutesy graphic style which made me kind of avoid it to start off with, but it actually works really, really well, and I'm having great fun with that because you can build sort of bigger and better things and you upgrade your house and you upgrade the workbenches and you can build sort of larger and larger stuff, and there's sort of horses and cars and all sorts of things in there. So thoroughly enjoying playing that at the moment. On the TV side of things, You has been the main thing that I've been watching, which is the Greg Berlanti series, which took an age to come out over here. It's now, I think it was on Lifetime. It was a co-production with Lifetime for season one, and then season two is purely a Netflix show because it's been renewed for a second season. It's about a guy who becomes obsessed with a girl who walks into the bookshop that he owns, and he starts to look her up on social media and uses social media to find stuff about her life and becomes a bit of a stalker to her. Sort of things develop from there, really. I would describe it as sort of Dexter done by the CW. It's about the closest things I can. It's got elements of that sort of serial killer kind of creepy vibe to it. Right. But it's very much a CW Greg Berlanti type show. You know, it's very much in that sort of vein. So it's a sort of teen drama-y type thing. What's really interesting is the two lead characters. I can't remember the guy's name, actually, which is terrible. But the girl is called Beck. And you're sort of rooting for the guy, who is not a good bloke. I mean, he is a stalker. And, he's done some fairly bad things in his life. But you end up finding yourself rooting for the guy because the girl is so annoying and such a mess. And you kind of think, you are sort of trying to help her, even though, your methods probably aren't the greatest, but you are trying to help her. it's been a really fun series. It's 10 episodes long. I'm 2 episodes from the end at the moment. But yeah, definitely worth going to watch if you've not seen You. It's on Netflix now. You can go watch that.
Yeah, I've not started it yet because I was watching Big Little Lies. So yeah, I'll watch it soon then.
Yeah, that's one I would definitely recommend. Black Mirror, Bandersnatch, that came out mm-hmm. as well. Sort of dropped as a surprise over the Christmas period. Really good, very interesting, even though it has delayed the 5th season of Black Mirror somewhat due to the fact that it's a hellishly complicated things to do. Because essentially, it's a TV show about a guy in the 80s developing an early 80s sort of choose-your-own-adventure game, and the TV show is also choose-your-own-adventure. So there are multiple different ways, like they reckon there are thousands of ways that the show can actually go together. I've only actually watched through it once, so I will go through and do it again. There are apparently 5 official endings to it. I mean, obviously, I got to the end of the first one, I got one of them, so I'd be interested to see what other endings you could possibly get out of it. But yeah, really enjoyable, very, very Black Mirror, very, very dark. But I would go and watch it. It's fabulous.
How many times did you get was it an end credits option, and then you get a like go back to this option? I saw that about 4 times, and then there was an ending that I got, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna just choose this here, but I might go back and see if there's others that I didn't get.
Yeah,
I did get to the, I'll just say, the Netflix dialogue stuff, and that was kind of interesting.
Yeah,
very, very fourth wall breaking.
Yes. For that. Yeah, yeah. I did that as well. I think there is possibly one proper ending, and then the other endings maybe have you bounce back. I don't know. I actually got a couple of those endings, and then it kind of gives you the option to sort of rewind. So yeah. I did get a couple of those, and I'm not sure if I'd have to go and look up what they're calling the 5 official endings are. So I don't know whether are 5 kind of definite endpoints, or whether there are sort of, you know, 4 and 1 definitive endpoint. I'm not entirely sure, but I really enjoyed it. It's well worth going to watch if you've not watched that.
A lot of people are saying, like, you know, because people pirate stuff and that and everything, how that would work if you watched it on like an online site or something. Or
I don't know. I can't imagine.
I mean, if you watched it on, let's say, your PC through a browser or something, I assume you could use a mouse, but I don't know how that would work. But you shouldn't watch things like that anyway. So
No, I
mean, you should watch it through Netflix.
Yes, you should watch it through Netflix. Yeah. So Outlander came back as well. I've been catching up on that series. Really, really enjoying the current series. It has them in America this time around, dealing with lots of stuff with the daughter. So I'm thoroughly enjoying that. Outlander's a great show if you've not watched that. Luther season 5, of course, out on the BBC. I still haven't watched the last couple of episodes of that, so I need to go back to it, but
I've seen the first 3 of this season, so I've got 1 left.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. There is a lot of, well, I can't really say too much, but I can't say what I was about to say without spoiling much, but right. It's still pretty good though at what it tries to do.
Yeah,
and I like that it's nice and short as well. You don't have to have a 16 episode, 23 episode season or something.
Absolutely. Yeah,
can you definitely imagine a 23-episode season of Luther?
Oh, it'd be, no, it's done very much in that tradition of kind of short-run British dramas, and it works really well in that format, so I'm very happy. Plus the fact that Idris Elba's got like 2 other shows running, plus all the film work right now, so I don't think you can get him to do like 16 episodes.
Hopefully future James Bond, we shall see.
Well, yes. Yeah. I doubt it'll ever happen, but yes. And Marvel's Runaways came back for its 2nd season as well, which the novelty of this season being they're actually runaways, so which they weren't for the entire 1st season. So, that's been really good. It's nice to see.
There's 2 episodes out for that at the moment.
2 episodes in, definitely one of the more solid series out to the Marvel stuff, so we're thoroughly enjoying that.
Yeah, I really like the kind of dynamic they've got at the moment, and the actual, like, okay, on the run stuff, and how are they going to like figure things out, and their powers, and their parents are still looking for them and stuff, and how's all that going to work, but I'm enjoying it more than The Gifted at the moment.
Right, okay. So. Yeah, I mean, I think ratings-wise, it's probably doing better than The Gifted in the US as well, so interesting. But I am kind of with you on that. So that's the stuff we've been doing. The other thing, of course, that happened over Christmas is there was the Geektad Awards. We've also had the BAFTAs last night, but everybody talks about the BAFTAs, so we're not going to go into that. But the Geektad Awards were out. So you all voted in your thousands to pick your favourite shows in various different categories. I just thought we'd have a little look through the list. We're not going to spend too long on this, but we'll just go through the list on...
I know two of the winners. I haven't actually seen the rest of them because I had that issue with my phone where I couldn't see the screen.
Yes. So, we had a few thousand submissions, which was great. Thank you for everybody that voted. We picked the winners out. They've very happily been notified and had their stuff sent, so that's all good. Yeah, some interesting things came up. I mean, best new non-sci-fi drama, Killing Eve won that out of Bulletproof, Burden of Truth, Jack Ryan, SEAL Team and The Good Doctor, but Killing Eve won that. Jack Ryan came second, but it was not a close second. Killing Eve got like almost 40% of the vote, so you know.
Well, I like them both. So.
Yes, yeah.
Good.
Best returning non-sci-fi. It's interesting because it was Suits that won this, which, you know, is a great show and I love Suits. And it's interesting to see because it's won sort of the bronze and silver award up until now, but it's the first time it's taken the gold. And I suspect that's partly the Meghan Markle effect of more people watching it. Ironically, now it's not on normal broadcast TV and it's on Netflix because of the Meghan Markle stuff. I suspect more people are watching it. But when the press talk about it, they talk about, it was a little known show. And it's like, it's not a little known show. It's a very, very well known show. So just because it's not some awful reality TV thing doesn't mean that it's not little known. Anyway, it's always annoyed me that. So, that came top. Better Call Saul came second. The Blacklist came third in that list.
Nice.
That's good. Best limited series, The Bodyguard, which, I mean, won by a ridiculous amount as well. That was almost 40% of the vote.
A lot of people saw that, didn't they? So,
yeah, well, it was a BBC series. It was one of the biggest shows for the BBC in like 10 years. Incredible series. Really, really solid. Don't know whether they're going to do another one of it yet, which is why it's in the limited series category. The BBC and the writer are apparently working on the possibility of doing another series of it, but they haven't kind of settled on anything yet. They need to decide what they're going to do with it. But I just definitely well-deserved winner. Black Mirror came second with that, and I suspect partly because of the fact that Bandersnatch came out. So new comedy series went to Young Sheldon, which is no great surprise given that the amount of love there is for Big Bang Theory out there. So I wasn't hugely surprised that Young Sheldon picked that up. What came second in that? Good Girls came second in that. Young Sheldon was ahead by like, it was 35% of the vote or 36% of the vote and Good Girls was like 11%. So there is quite a drop off between first and second place, but yes, that came second. So that seems quite popular. Returning comedy series Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, predictably won that category. So that's all good. Will and Grace came second, and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel came third, which I was very, very happy about because I adore that show. On best new sci-fi or fantasy series. Now, this was interesting because I was very surprised at what won this. Not that it didn't deserve it because I actually thought it was a great show, but Lost in Space, the Netflix reboot of the classic 60s show, was the thing that came top on that. Narrowly,
I've never seen that yet.
Very, very narrowly beating A Discovery of Witches by like, there was only 1% between the two of them. But Lost in Space won that. Altered Carbon came third, but only just beating The Orville. So, you know, they were very, very close in some of the categories of that, for the sort of top place and second place. But Lost in Space. It's a really, really good adaptation of it. And I just thought that was an interesting one to sort of win out, really. So there you go. Returning sci-fi fantasy series, Doctor Who, I think predictably won that.
Cool.
Westworld coming joint second with The Handmaid's Tale, actually. Couldn't get anything in between them. They were close. And then Humans coming third. It's one of those things that certainly in that category, Doctor Who was always going to win out, and it won by a fairly sizable margin. So I think that's fair. On new comic book series, Runaways came out top for that.
Ah, there you go.
So yes, very happy with that. Sabrina coming second, fairly close behind, and then Krypton coming third on that one. I guess it helps that Runaways is on a mainstream channel and it's superhero related, whereas Sabrina, I think, is a bit of a sort of mixed bag and it's more sort of fantasy, I guess. Returning comic book series, Walking Dead, despite all the criticism of Walking Dead and people talking about its doom, which it's clearly not going anywhere, not if they have anything to do with it over at AMC. Still very comfortably won that category with 22% of the vote. Very, very comfortably won the category, and still got a lot of fans.
This season was better than the last two seasons.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah, definitely
with
was.
Angela coming in.
Certainly. I mean, if there was a most award for most improved, that would be the show that
I
would
think
win.
So, yeah. I would agree with that.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming second, Gotham coming third in that.
Cool.
British TV show of the year. Now, usually Doctor Who would be in a good chance for very, very good place for this, but Bodyguard this year absolutely trounced it again with almost 40% of the vote. Doctor Who came in second with 25% of the vote. Called the Midwife came in third. Just a lot of love for Bodyguard out there, which leads us on to our next category, which is Best Male Performance, which went to Richard Madden for Bodyguard. Second place went to Andrew Lincoln for Walking Dead. So, you know.
Well, he won't be in it next year. So.
Yes. Well, yes. Last time you could have the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
And Freddie Highmore for third place for Good Doctor, which is a fantastic performance.
The lead character for that?
Yeah, that's the lead. Yeah. Okay. Character plays the autistic doctor in that, and he's a fabulous performance. Not that much for Keir Gilchrist on Atypical, unfortunately, but I guess that's because it's not anywhere near as big a show. Over on Best Female Performance, this was an interesting one because we put Jodie Comer up against Sandra Oh for Killing Eve, and Jodie Comer completely trounced the competition with 30% of the vote, winning Killing Eve. She played the killer in that.
Right.
So, and Sandra Oh was actually way, way down the list. Melissa McBride coming second, Elizabeth Moss coming third. So Melissa McBride for The Walking Dead, Elizabeth Moss for Handmaid's Tale. Moving away from TV, Game of the Year, we got Red Dead Redemption 2, obviously top that list. Spider-Man second, right. God of War third. Like,
it's usually Red Dead or God of War this year.
Well, God of War third, Red Dead top, Spider-Man second in this. So good result, and it is a great game. Movie of the Year, this initially was fairly close, but there was no one else that could take it, really. Avengers Infinity War, it had to be. Deadpool 2 coming in a reasonable 22%. Second, but Avengers completely trouncing everybody else. Black Panther coming in third. So good for Marvel, whatever, you know, all top three spaces went to Marvel. But
Bird Box was too late, I assume.
Box was too late for that list. Most anticipated new series. Now, this was interesting because it was very, very, very close. Watchmen coming out top for this in terms of new series. Titans only a like point couple of percent behind it. but Titans, of course, we know when that's coming. We don't know exactly when Watchmen is coming. We're assuming it's coming to Sky Atlantic because it's a HBO series, so it should be. Mandalorian coming third, which we don't know where or when, if that's going to air over here. But yes, Mandalorian, which is the new Star Wars series, coming third. Witcher coming fourth on that. So
all very, very good shows, should be very, very good shows.
There's some amazing stuff coming out next year. I mean, the other stuff in that list was Good Omens, The Boys, Umbrella Academy, Snowpiercer, Deadly Class. I mean, there's some brilliant looking shows coming. Most anticipated game of next year, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So yes, I mean, while the love of Star Wars might have like dipped a little bit in recent years, the gamers are still very much on board, and I think this looks like it could be a really interesting game, despite the fact that we don't know anything about it particularly, because
it was announced in a weird way.
Yeah, because it was sort of like, oh yeah, we've got this coming, and that's pretty much all we know about it. We know it follows a young Padawan, we know it's a single player, and we know it's story driven. That's about all we know about it. So yeah, I mean, fingers crossed that it's good, but we'll have to wait and see. Tom Clancy's The Division coming second, Kingdom Hearts 3 coming third in that category. And then most anticipated movie of next year, Avengers Endgame. I mean, it had to be given the previous one. So Avengers Endgame coming top, although we had it as Avengers Infinity War 2, because at the time we put the awards up, we didn't know what it was going to be called, and then they announced it. So Avengers Endgame, Toy Story 4, and then Star Wars Episode 11.
It's going to be a big year for Disney, 2019.
Yeah, I mean, on top of that, you've got Captain Marvel, you've got for Marvel, as well, because you've got Spider-Man Far From Home coming, and
the live action stuff of Aladdin, Lion King.
Yeah, a live action Aladdin, live action Lion King. Yeah, I mean, there's
a Dumbo, is that coming out as well?
I'm not sure whether that's this year or next year, but yes, there is a Dumbo coming as well. I mean, it's interesting because previously with,
and Frozen.
Oh yeah, and Frozen too. Previously, when we've done the most anticipated movies in a Star Wars year, we've taken Star Wars out of that category because I'm just sort of most anticipated movie except Star Wars. But because of the backlash that there was with the last one, I thought I'd put it back in. And it's interesting to see that, you know, it's very much been trounced by Marvel this year because that was a very, very comfortable win for, it was like 35%.
Well, Disney owns them both, so.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, it's all good news for Disney. They don't really care.
Right.
So.
Right.
So yes, but I thought that was interesting. Star Wars in third place. Very much looking forward to next year. This year, yeah. There's going to be some very interesting stuff coming out. TV and movies and gaming looks very, very good.
Yeah, as long as I mention Game of Thrones.
Yes. Game of Thrones coming back as well, which for the final season, there was a little clip of Game of Thrones in that little thing that they released last night on
should
HBO.
I think it's on HBO's YouTube channel.
Yes, it is. It is around little clip of that, little clip of Watchmen as well. So very, very interesting. That's the Geektown Awards for this year. We will, of course, be back in December for a new awards and another big prize coming out as well. But thank you to everybody that entered. I'm very, very grateful. It's been really good fun. Now we'll move on to some TV and film news. So we kick off the TV and film news this week with renewals, cancellations and pickups. The first one we have, there's a number of cancellations which sort of snuck out just before Christmas. This one actually came afterwards, but first one was Vikings is apparently going to end with its sixth season, which is fine, I think. Six seasons is a solid run. They're all written by the one guy. It's one all-encompassing story of the Hrothgar and his protege. So,
okay, I don't know anything about it.
It basically follows the lineage of one particular Viking family is essentially what it is. And I think they've possibly just got to the end of that story because what they are saying is there is a follow-up series or they're in talks to make a follow-up series, which is going to be based in the Viking era as well. So it's possible that they're just going to end this because it's the end of that story and they're going to do sort of something else focusing on a different bit of Viking history, possibly. We don't know much about what the follow-up is going to be, but we'll have to wait and see.
Are people getting confused about other headlines I've been putting out there? Some people think it's like cancelled.
It's not cancelled. It is being ended by the people that make it. There's a very, very big difference between those two things. So it will get a proper, solid, decent end. I think we're on second half of season 5 now, so they've got season 6 to do. So they know what they're doing. It will end with season 6, and then there may be a follow-up series afterwards if they agree terms on it. The same writer of Vikings is actually also making a show with Martin Scorsese about the Caesars, the early Caesars of Rome, which I'm very, very interested to see.
Okay.
So that will be another good one to look out for. I think that's HBO series, so we'll have to wait and see if and when that turns up. One that snuck out just before Christmas, Z Nation or Z Nation, depending on which side of the Atlantic you are, that's been cancelled by Sci-Fi US after 5 seasons, which is a real shame. But
had really, really low ratings. It had like 300,000. Or 400,000, which is really low.
I mean, it's you can get away with that sometimes on Sci-Fi because Sci-Fi is a smaller channel, but that's low even for Sci-Fi. They are bringing Black Summer, which is a kind of prequel of sorts that's coming to Netflix this year, later this year. I think it's spring, I think they said. So that's not going on Sci-Fi in the US. That's going to be Netflix worldwide, and that is going to be a kind of prequel to the Z Nation stuff. It's not gone entirely. It will be different sort of characters that sort of set in the same universe. It's a sort of fear the Walking Dead to the Walking Dead kind of, I guess.
Right.
But that's called Black Summer. That's coming to Netflix.
How come Netflix didn't just pick up Z Nation and like conclude it?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they decided that it wasn't worth it and they'd already got Black Summer coming. So I don't know. I mean, you never know. It was only cancelled just before Christmas. You never know. It might make a triumphant return, but who knows? NBC have cancelled Midnight Texas, which I know upset quite a lot of people. They've also cancelled the sitcom called Marlon, which I think people are less upset about. But Midnight Texas has gone, unfortunately. Again, it would have survived probably on something like a smaller network, but not an NBC. They're pretty ruthless, and they were both fairly low rated as well. That's going. Elementary is going to end after 7 seasons, which again is a solid run. I don't have an issue with that coming to an end. It's been fairly low rated, although it has sold really, really well abroad for the studio. So
okay.
I think it's got to a point where there's only so long you can do that sort of stuff, and I wouldn't surprise me if the actors wanted to move on to something else. I think it got to the point where they would have either had to have renewed their contracts, because their initial contracts were 7 seasons. So they would have had to have renewed the contracts if they were going to carry it on further, and they decided not to, because that's when it gets expensive, because you've got to pay them more because it's a contract negotiation and that sort of stuff. So I think that's fine. I enjoy that show, but I think it's had a good run, so that's fair. Harlots, which is a show which I wasn't that aware of, I have to say. It previously went out on ITV Encore in the UK. It's a co-production, or was for the first season, a co-production with Hulu. It's now been picked up by Starzplay because ITV dropped out after the first season. So it's the second season was a purely Hulu production, which means that ITV didn't get to air it. So it's now back on it in the UK. It's going to be on Starzplay. First season goes on the 18th of January. Second season will go on from the 14th of February. That's going on, and all 8 episodes will be on from the 14th of February for the second season of that. And it's got a third season incoming as well. So that's on Starzplay, which is the add-on channel for Amazon Prime. So I think it's $5.99 a month or $4.99 a month, something like that for that. On to renewals. Ray Donovan renewed for a 7th season. I still haven't watched the 6th yet, but that's always good news because Ray Donovan is a great show. Carl Pilkington's The Sick of It has been renewed for a 2nd season, which is good news because that was a funny series.
Yeah, I quite like that. Hopefully they renew Sick Note as well.
Yeah. I'm not sure about Sick Note yet, but we'll have to wait and see on that. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina being renewed for 16 more episodes. That's on top of the 20 episodes it was originally renewed for. So we've got season 1, we've got which has been out. We have the Christmas special. We've got season 2 coming, which is another 10 episodes. There's then going to be 16 episodes after that, which will probably be split into 2 halves.
Right.
So they're
lots
going
to
be.
Lots more to come.
Yeah, lots more to come. 36 episodes into, well, plus a Christmas special. So lots more to look forward to if you like Sabrina. And Netflix have also renewed The Last Kingdom for its fourth season, which is the Saxon sort of, it's like Vikings, but from the other side, basically. it's the Saxon side of Vikings. That's coming back for a fourth season, which is now entirely a Netflix show. It was a BBC show. BBC dropped out of it and Netflix carried it on. So it's now entirely a Netflix-based show. You can find all the first 3 seasons on Netflix, and the fourth season will be coming presumably either later this year or next year. Moving on to some slightly bigger stories. One story that came out just before Christmas, Sky One has ordered a GCHQ work-based comedy called Intelligence, but it's starring David Schwimmer, which I thought was kind of interesting because it's a British show. So we've had a couple of these recently. There was another one with Rob Lowe joining a ITV drama, which I thought was a bit weird. So I think they're all trying to get out of Hollywood and come over here to work to escape Trump. So this one is a 6-part comedy series. It comes from actor-writer Nick Mohammed. It's based in Cheltenham, set at the UK's highly regarded government communications headquarters, which is otherwise known as GCHQ, which is kind of the UK's big listening station for the people that check your emails. when a power-hungry maverick NSA agent, played by David Schwimmer, comes to join the inept tactless computer analyst, played by Mohammed, a newly formed team tackling cybercrime and everything they know is shaken up. So that's the basis for it. So it is going to be a comedy. It's very much what David Schwimmer does well. It's kind of an interesting idea. The idea of a sort of comedy set at GCHQ, I think, is a sort of an inept, like, workplace comedy set at GCHQ. I quite like the idea of this.
Maybe. It could work. I like David Schwimmer, and I'm still watching Friends at the moment. On late season 7, I think.
Right, okay.
So yeah, it'd be good to see him in some other stuff as well. I know he's done other stuff since Friends, obviously.
Yeah.
But more comedy stuff as well. Because I know he was in the OJ Simpson
thing.
Yeah,
he was.
In that as well. But
yeah. No, he was great. Yeah, he was really good in the OJ thing. He's not done a huge amount since, but then given that the cast of Friends apparently individually received $20 million a year in royalties from Friends repeats, it's not like they actually need to work ever again. So, you know, but you can be very choosy about the project. So I think this is kind of interesting that this is what he's decided to go and do. So it's coming to Sky, don't know when, coming to Sky One. So I have to wait and see. It's called Intelligence, but that's one to keep an eye out for. I'm quite looking forward to that. And the other news story that dropped this week was that the CW has ordered the Batwoman pilot that was long rumoured when they first cast Ruby Rose as Batwoman. But they have actually ordered the pilot now. So we could be getting a Batwoman series. Which,
nice.
Having now seen the Elseworlds crossover,
yeah,
I can see that working. I think it's interesting. I think what they set up there was quite nice. I do wonder if they're setting this up as a replacement for Arrow, which is coming up to what, its seventh or eighth season, something like that. And as you know, that's the time when contracts come up for renewal and things become trickier to get renewed. I mean, apart from the fact that he's on CW and they pretty much automatically renew everything. But it could be getting to a point where the cast start to decide that they want to do other things. So, I mean, you could see maybe Arrow start to wind down and, you know, this start to take over possibly. Or it could be that they're going to run Arrowverse shows throughout the year because they're already moving them around a bit. You either have an Arrowverse show on every night or you run them staggered throughout the year, maybe. So you keep some of them for crossovers and maybe run the others. I mean, well, you don't need it to be on air when they're doing the crossover, actually. In fact, it probably makes shooting the crossover a bit easier if you're using characters that aren't currently filming. So, but I mean, I think that is a really good sign. You know, would see Ruby Rose return to the role of Batwoman Kate Kane. They did announce some other casting as well, which I thought was interesting. They've used code names. So there is a character called Joseph, who is an ex-army colonel who now runs a private security and logistics firm in Gotham called The Crows. That actually sounds like it's Colonel Kane, who is Kate Kane's dad. So I think they're probably casting for her father. There's a casting call gone out for a character called Alexa, who very much sounds like a female version of Joker. There is a character in the comic books called Elizabeth, who is Kate's twin sister, and sort of originally thought dead after a terrorist kidnapping. Turns out that she physically survived but was mentally broken and sort of went slightly deranged, and she has this sort of Joker-esque Victorian look to her. That would be an interesting kind of main villain to put in, I think, and having a sort of family relationship could be quite good.
Yeah, I mean, they've already got like Gotham City set up because they used the sets that they used in the crossover. I really liked her in the crossover itself. Although she wasn't in it for that long, I still think what we saw of her showed a lot of potential.
Yeah.
I also wonder as well, like, what Batman characters they can use or what sort of tools from those characters they can use, because in the crossover they do some of that as well. Like, you have Victor Freeze's gun, but you don't have Mr. Freeze in there. You have like Scarecrow's toxin, but not Scarecrow. So like, how they can get around that and stuff. And I think in the crossover itself, they did a really good job of kind of getting around what they couldn't use. So like Batman and all these other kind of characters and stuff, and showing what they were allowed to. But no, I'm pretty excited for this. So
yeah, I think this sounds really interesting. A couple of other people that they've got casting in there. There's a Latino character which he's described as Sloane in the show notes, but she's actually a member of the Crows, this security firm. In this version, she's described as one of their best agents, but also has a secret, although she's now married to a guy she was once in love with, Kate. So it's possible that is Rini Montoya, who is actually a police detective in the comic books, but they could be using that as a character. She also has a superhero persona. She becomes the Question, which is a sort of superhero that has a sort of thing that masks her face. I mean, that may or may not be Yeah, but that sort of sounds like the area they're heading in. And there is also, there's a character called Landon, who is described as an African-American guy in his 20s, who is a massive Batman fan, comes from an imperative legacy that provides Batman with some of his gadgets. That can't be anybody but Luke Fox. It has to be Luke Fox, who is the son of Lucius Fox, who is the CEO of Wayne Enterprises. And he's a character called Batwing in the comic books. So he's basically Batman in a sort of techno suit. So it's all gadgetry stuff. But he's a great character in the comic books as well. So I think that would be an interesting way of getting sort of a not Batman Batman in there. You know, I think that's quite a good way of doing it. And it makes sense with what they've set up with Batman going missing and, you know, Bruce not being there. And, you know, so it makes sense that somebody who is a huge Batman fan would maybe try and step in to fill that void. So I can see how they're thinking is there, and that kind of works quite well.
Yeah, because they haven't announced their like renewal plans. I mean, I know it's a little bit early still for like renewals for these shows, but they still haven't announced that yet. And like Arrow could be renewed for an eighth and final season, and then this steps in or comes in anyway. I mean, the one that you can kind of push out the way a little bit scheduling wise is Black Lightning, because it's not even part of the Arrowverse yet.
Well, to be honest,
like for crossovers and stuff.
You can sort of push Black Lightning out the way. You kind of push Legends out the way, because they've not really been using that in the crossover recently. So, you know, we'll have to see what they do with it.
Yeah, I mean, because with the return dates this year, Legends isn't back till April. So they already have kind of pushed it out of the way a little bit, because the others are back like in the next couple of weeks, the other three shows and Supergirl as well. So I don't know, but I'm excited about all this.
Yeah, I think it looks really interesting. So we'll have to wait and see what they're going to do with it, but and if it gets picked up. I mean, it's rare that they don't pick up stuff off Greg Berlanti, particularly superhero stuff.
I'd be surprised if it didn't get picked up. So
they've commissioned the pilot, so they obviously want it. I think there's a very, very good chance this will move forward. But yes, how it will fit into the rest of the Arrowverse, who knows? But it looks like it's going to be slated to join the autumn lineup, or it will be mid-season next year, depending how long it takes them to.
Yeah, they could do that, couldn't they?
So we'll wait and see. But very, very interesting. So that's all the news for this week. Let's move on to highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week on TV. There are quite a lot, actually, given it's January.
Yes, and Netflix likes Fridays.
Yes, Netflix really, really like Fridays, particularly Friday the 11th. There's a lot. So, kick off with Silent Witness. That returns for its 22nd season. Jeez. BBC One, 8th of January at 9 p.m. for that. Catastrophe, that's back for its fourth season on Channel 4. That's on the 8th of February at 10 p.m.
I should watch that. I just haven't yet.
So. Yeah, I keep on meaning to watch that. It's critically acclaimed comedy, and you know, I just have completely missed it. I imagine it's on all the catch up things. So
probably on all four. Yeah,
probably on all four. Speaking of Channel 4, E4 have got the Charmed reboot. That's coming on the 8th of January at 9 p.m. The reboot of Charmed with three new sisters generally seems to be going down quite well, from what I hear. So another CW show, so one to watch out for. LA to Vegas, which was a one season show that's coming to the Paramount Network. It's a comedy set on the weekend flights from LA to Vegas. It's from the team behind Anchorman and Talladega Nights. So it's that Will Farrelly kind of comedy. Mm-hmm. Only lasted one season in the US though, but 8th of January at 9 p.m. for that one. 8th of January is getting a lot of love as well, actually. Living the Dream, second season of Living the Dream, which is the expat comedy star Phil Glenister and Leslie Sharp, about a family that moves from England to Florida. That's back for its second season. That's on 8th of January at 9 p.m. as well. Moving off the 8th of January, 10th of January at 9 p.m, The Orville returns for its second season. I'm so looking forward to this. I adored the first season of the show. It was hilarious. So very, very much looking forward to that. 10th of January on Fox at 9 p.m. for that. Death in Paradise, season 8 of that. That's a more lighthearted murder investigation in the Caribbean. That's the 10th of January at 9 p.m. for that. Hunted, the reality show where a group of people try to stay off the radar. That's fourth season of that, coming 10th of January at 9 p.m. to Channel 4. Better Things, which is a comedy, runs on FX, I think, in the US. It's by Pamela Aldon, stars Aldon as Sam Fox, an LA-based actress and single mother to three daughters trying to juggle life, mothering and getting her big break. That's part of this deal that BBC did with FX to basically carry all the new FX shows. That's coming to BBC Two on the 10th of January at 9 p.m. Grantchester, season 4, 11th of January at 9 p.m. It's the final season of James Norton in the lead role as the crime-solving vicar. He's being replaced by another equally hunky crime-solving vicar. That is coming back on the 11th of January at 9 p.m. The Good Place back on the 11th of January for the last few episodes of season 3. That will return.
Yeah, and then we'll have to wait like 6 or 7 months.
So yeah, that won't be fun. Which sucks, but it's such a good show. If you've not caught The Good Place, Netflix, go and watch the first 3 seasons. It's the best comedy out there by far. Go and watch it.
Yeah, can't wait to cover that on Friday. So,
yes. Yeah.
And then Star Trek joins it the next week.
Yes. So 11th of January, this is where we hit all the 11th of January stuff. Sex Education on Netflix. This is a new coming of awkward age dramedy starring Gillian Anderson and Asa Butterfield. This looks very, very funny. I love Gillian Anderson. She's basically a sex therapist who is rather overly open with her son, who gets roped into becoming a sort of sex therapist for his teenage friends. It looks very, very funny. So that's coming on the 11th of January. That's Sex Education on Netflix. Bull, that is the third season of that, coming to Fox on the 11th of January at 10 p.m. Friends from College, season 2 of that, coming the 11th of January to Netflix as well.
Has it been 2 years or 1 year since that's been on? I think it was on last year.
No, I think it was late. It was like December 2017, I think. So it is a little bit later. I never got around to watching the rest of that.
I really enjoyed it. It was really good. Yeah,
I need to go back and try and give that another go. Titans, finally, the DC Titans series. That's coming to Netflix on the 11th of January, so for season 1 of that. Very much looking forward to finally
renewed for season.
That.
Yeah, renewed for season 2, isn't it?
I don't know whether they've actually confirmed that, but I can't imagine they won't renew it because they've only got a limited number of shows on that, so it's got to be coming back. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, second half of season 4 of that, coming on the 12th of January. That is back. Call the Midwife. Your mum will be very happy. 13th of January.
She needs to see season 7.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because the last episodes available on Netflix are the 2016 Christmas special. So
oh,
she's
no.
missing season 7.
Is it not on there?
No, it's not on there.
Yeah, that's infuriating.
And Poldark's only got 2 seasons on there, which she watched and she's asking me about. So,
So season 8 of that, season 8 of Call the Midwife, that is back on the 13th of January at 8 p.m. Vera, season 9 of that, coming to ITV on the 13th of January at 8 p.m. Cold Feet, that is back for its 8th season on 14th of January at 9 p.m. Murdoch Mysteries, season 12 of that, 14th of January at 9 p.m. on Alibi. Then True Detective season 3. So, given I didn't watch the second season, or I watched the first episode, didn't particularly like it, and decided not to watch the rest. But as it's an anthology series, you don't need to have seen that, and I'm quite interested in this new one. So we'll
If you haven't seen it, watch season 1. Don't worry about season 2, and then jump into season 3.
Yeah, we'll have to see what season 3 is like. But I'm quietly confident that this could be back on track. So Sky Atlantic, 14th of January at 2 a.m, but it's then showing again at like 9 p.m. because they're simulcasting it with the US.
Simulcast on demand type thing like they do with Game of Thrones and Westworld.
That's one to look out for, definitely. And lastly, The Passage. This is Mark Paul Gosselaar starring drama about a secret government medical facility experimenting with the dangerous virus that can cure all disease or cause the downfall of a human race. And there is a little girl that he's got trying to protect who could be the savior of all humanity. That is coming on the 15th of January at 9 p.m. I have a feeling that's only the day after the US, I think.
I don't know.
They may even be simulcasting that as well, actually. But I mean, that's definitely one to look out for.
That's a lot of stuff for January, especially like early January, which is good because I remember, was it last year we had like a massive delay with a lot of stuff?
Yeah. So, yeah. It's, I mean, a lot of that is driven by Netflix. Very true. But yeah, I mean, because Netflix used to jump into that gap. Netflix saw a hole in the scheduling because all the TV shows.
Schedule. Yeah.
Yeah. All the scheduling disappeared for until about the middle of February. And Netflix went, we'll take that. And it seems to have spurred the other channels onto going, we need to try and claw the audience back earlier. So yeah, it's worked. Thanks, Netflix. Lots and lots of stuff coming in January, and it's not slowing down. I mean, there is a load more stuff coming in February and the second half of January. I mean, the lists are ridiculous. Unless you've got anything else you want to add.
I don't think so. We said quite a lot, and it's going to be, like David said, a very good year for all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's starting early, which is good.
Yes.
We only have 4 episodes at a good place, so that's bad.
Yes.
But we should enjoy those. And you can follow me on Twitter at eTalkUK. That's also where I'll be, of course, posting stuff because it goes through on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
So
go and check out Matt and go and check out entertainmenttalk.org. For us, there is a lot of air date information around at the moment. So go onto the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week. You can see all the latest air date information. We're posting news daily on there. If you want to get in touch with your questions and comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram @geektownuk. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.